After Buzzers, you are watching the Outlander After Show. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Outlander After Show. I love this song. We were all just discussing how it's like the best song to open a show. We are discussing episode 303, All Debts Paid. Murtaugh's alive.
Murtaugh's back!
Yes, thank God. We finally find out what happened to Murtaugh. He's barely alive, hanging on. But I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OMG. It's MLE. And here are my lovely co-hosts.
Hi, guys. I'm Tiana Hobson, and you can find me at the Tiana Hobson.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Rach Goodman, or on Twitter at also at Rach Goodman. I don't know why I did it like that.
That's okay. Perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, I feel like this episode was so packed. I think like so much happened in this episode. So, but I guess it would be easiest to kind of break it up like we normally do. So we'll start with Claire's timeline and then end with Jamie's. So Claire's story opens up the show in 1956 Boston, and they don't waste any time letting us know that there's like no hope for Claire and Frank to be together. So what'd you guys think just that opening part with her?
I mean, I thought it was very progressive of them to be in this open relationship in 1956.
Yeah, right?
I know. Oh, okay. All right, yeah. I see it. I see what you guys are doing here. Very, like, hip couple, yeah. You know? I mean, Frank definitely just, you know, be a little more discreet.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that at all. And when I heard it, first I was a little confused because he's like, yeah, I saw those movies. And I'm like, wait, is he saying he went with another woman?
Yeah.
Because she's not, even though obviously she kind of, well, her heart is cheating on him, but she's not actually cheating on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was glad that it was followed up with, like, we agreed that we would live our separate lives, because I was like, is he just cheating? But the other part of me was like, oh, maybe he went to the movies by himself. I do that all the time.
Me
like,
too.
I did that on Friday. But
I know. That's where I thought it was going. When he said he'd seen these movies, I was like, oh, he has all this free time because Claire is, like, a doctor and she's so busy. And so he's just kind of living his life. And because I thought they were going to give us, like, a sliver of them just kind of coexisting nicely. And then when it kind of made that realization that it was with another woman, and she seemed like really bothered by it, you know? And I think it's somewhere, I don't know if it was at that scene or somewhere in the episode, he kind of alluded to the fact that it was her idea to kind of lead these separate lives, or I guess like for him to kind of do his own thing. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of interesting too, that she was like, go do you.
And clearly he loves her deeply, that he would wait for her to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But then even though he's doing this, it, I don't know, like, I just thought it was just his way of trying to get past her, even though he never could, because in his mind, Claire's the love of his life, that she'll always be the love of his life.
Yeah. And so he's kind of going and has a little side chick on the side.
I mean, I believe Claire refers to her as a harlot.
Yeah.
Which is now my new favorite word. I'm bringing harlot back,
you
guys.
Need to.
I'm
Hashtag
bringing harlot back.
We need this back. Seriously.
I love how she kept calling her, like, Mandy.
Yeah,
Candy. No, her name is Sandy.
That was funny. Yeah, so that kind of just quickly, I think it just, like, straight off the bat, let the viewer know, like, get yourself in the right frame of mind, because they're not going to be together.
Yeah.
And then it kind of flashed to her graduation day, right when she's graduating from medical school, and she had all of her like classmates over at her house, I guess it was.
Yeah.
And then
I was expecting to see a little bit more of the struggle through med school.
Yeah.
Like, I was a little disappointed that I didn't get to see more, especially after last week, where in the first day of class, the teacher is already like, you're in the wrong place. And then no one wants her to sit next to her. And then her and the only black guy in the class are like, hey, let's be friends. I wanted to kind of see more of that world for a second before we jump to this, but okay.
I agree.
I wanted to see more, too. I wonder, because I know we were talking before this, and we've heard that in the books they follow Jamie's storyline more, you guys were saying, but I wonder if we do see a little bit more in the books, and I really want to go read the books now just to see what's going on, but I wanted more, especially because it's the 50s and 60s, I just wanted to see more of her struggle with Frank to begin with, too, and also, like, it isn't... I don't really feel for her in terms of her, everything she went through with getting that degree.
Yeah.
Because we didn't experience it with her. It seemed like it was way too easy. Like, mm-hmm. snap your fingers. Oh, hey, it's done.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think part of the reason why, as a viewer, you fall in love with Claire is because she's this, like, super strong woman, you know, that it kind of is taking charge and making her own destiny and, you know, kind of going yeah. after what she wants. So, and after they set it up last week as kind of being the struggle that something that she's going to go through, I would have loved to see that, you know, kind of be that strong woman and kind of overcome her teacher and the other classmates that didn't want her to succeed, I guess. But then when they're at her house and all of her classmates are there, did they come around? Is everyone, like, friends? It's like, yeah. I wish we could have seen a little bit more.
Were those her classmates? Or were they, like, friends that were...
Maybe.
Well, I mean, she did say that, you know, they were her new colleagues when yeah. they got in the fight later on that night, so...
Maybe they were, like, future...
A mixture of...
Doctors?
Friends and...
I don't know. Maybe. I'm a little confused on the timeline, but maybe she had gone through her residency... And that's how she met the other people. And it wasn't people maybe. Actually in her class, yeah. but people that, yeah, maybe she had a job lined up and
yeah.
Yeah.
They were nicer people than
Yeah, I know. I wish we could have seen some of that because just this episode alone, we jumped 10 years from 56 to 66. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I wish we could have seen a little bit more of her journey.
And it would have played into more of, and, you know, sorry to jump ahead, but to no, her good. And Frank's big fight mm-hmm. at the end when he brings up the fact that she wasn't around because of school and being at the hospital while Brianna was growing up. Yeah. We never got to see that sort of discourse. So for me, I was like, well, I mean, I don't know. She seems pretty proud of Brianna yeah. at the graduation. Like, they're smiling. She's, right. I was like, they seem to have, like, a pretty good relationship. So I didn't get the sense of, well, she's definitely going to choose Frank over right. her. I mean, I know that she would have just because of what we saw in season two
yeah.
at the end there with, you know, her clearly just being more team dad.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to see how they got there.
Right. Totally.
And I completely agree with you. The other thing is that I wanted to feel more of when she looked at Brianna, she saw Jamie, and it yeah. bothered her to the point where that's why she was not at home. Yeah, at the end of mm-hmm. season two, we definitely got that, and I, you know, I got the memo. Like, okay, she definitely looked at her at Brianna and didn't, and it was hard for her.
Yeah.
But when we're watching Brianna as a little girl, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
She seemed like a normal mother, and that's where, for me, there's a disconnect, and I am not feeling as strongly connected to what her journey is during this point
yeah.
as Jamie's.
Yeah, and I agree because I know it seems like they set it up just based on season two, how Brianna seemed to kind of have this, like, distance with her mom and, like, blamed her mom, it kind of seemed like, mm-hmm. and didn't want anything to do with it. And I feel like as a viewer now watching that, since I didn't get the sense of Claire kind of not really paying as much attention to her, I feel like I'm going to now not like Brianna's character. I know Adrian already
does. I was like, I was already there.
I know a lot of people are already on the anti-Brianna character.
I kind of agree with you, too.
I wasn't. And then, but now I think I'm going to be because I'm going to be like, why are you being so mean to Claire? Like, she look at everything she had to go through. But I wish if I had seen that, then maybe I could sympathize a little bit more. But now I think I'm going to be on the anti-Brianna train a little bit.
It's not necessarily anti. It's just yeah. that, like, okay, I get it. You were close to your dad. You don't understand your parents' relationship.
Yeah.
But, you know, just, you know, hear your mom out was my yeah, whole thing at the season true. Two finale. I was like, just hear her out. She's been holding this in
yeah.
for years, and she wasn't allowed to tell you the truth because of your father. And here she is trying to come clean, and I know it's a lot to handle, so yeah. fly off the handles for a little bit, but, like, come back down to
yeah.
earth for a second and, like, let's hear the woman yeah, out.
That's true.
I think my problem was, too, is that don't you think Brianna would kind of sense that something wasn't right with her parents after all those years?
It's like, okay. How did Sandy not come up, at least at, like, yeah. the funeral or something?
Yeah.
Like, how is Brianna so, like, my dad was exactly perfect?
Right.
And my mom is a terrible person.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
Sandy came to the door on that one occasion. I highly doubt that was her only time that she came right. to the door. And Brianna probably would have sensed that her dad was up to no good. And her mom seemed like she was in the picture. So I just yeah. don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Frank's going to marry Sandy. We find out that, or he wanted to, right? So obviously she had to have been close, like, really close, not just, like, this one random occasion. So Brianna should have known.
I feel like maybe later on this season, and I mean, I know we, the three of us have not read the books, but I kind of feel like she'll realize the truth as they're digging deeper into the past and she's learning more about her parents' relationship, that she will also realize, like, oh, Frank wasn't, like, the perfect father. Right. And my mom wasn't, like, this horrible person who just kind of led him on for years.
Yeah, right.
And I have faith in her.
Yeah, okay.
That was my problem, too, with their grand fight at the end, when Frank kept saying, like, the whole thing, oh, I'm going to go to London, Brianna will probably come with me because you're never here. Yeah. This was their opportunity to show us this relationship, and it didn't come across like this was a young girl who was very distant from her mother and close to her father.
Yeah.
I got that she was close to her dad, but they didn't do a good enough job showing us what Claire was doing. So when Frank starts saying at the end, yeah, Brianna's going to come with me, I didn't believe him. It didn't make sense.
Like, it only made sense if you've seen the season 2 finale.
And
you know what
And you're like, okay, I know how she is. So, like, yes, it makes sense, but I don't see how she's getting there.
Right.
But I had a question because about divorce law in 1958. Because that's the first time when Claire was like, hey, well, after her graduation, and Frank was super rude and did go to dinner, like, at least pretend, dude.
Right? Okay, we'll get back on that after this.
But she says, why don't you divorce me or file for divorce? And I was like, can she not file?
She
in the 50s, like, women couldn't file for divorce?
I only know about this because I had to write, I'm a writer, and I wrote a novel set in this time period.
Oh, wow.
So I had to look up the laws, and no, a woman could not file for divorce up until, like, the late 60s, early 70s. There's so many things a woman could not do. That's why she said that.
Because when she said it that way, that, like, perked my ears up, and I was like, wait a second. Were women not allowed to file for divorce?
Weren't.
Like, does he have to be the one to do it?
See, I wish they would have said that, because that would have been like, what? No way. Because I'm sitting here thinking, like, yeah, well, Claire, you could leave too.
But apparently she couldn't.
Yeah, because I thought that, but I was like, but the way she said it made me feel like, oh, okay, she's not allowed to.
Wow. Okay.
The little things.
Interesting.
Thank you for the history lesson.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
we actually have a comment in the chat. I know we're not live, but I said that I would read the comment anyway.
Yeah, perfect.
Billie Jean Girl 24 says, did it seem that the rushed, did they seem that they rushed the timeline where Claire is at? Because the last episode, she was just starting school.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of, yeah, definitely.
It's kind of like what we touched on. Like, it's just, we fast-forwarded 10 years, but we didn't get to see a lot in those 10 years. I mean, one of the scenes was literally just at Bree's birthday, her making a birthday wish, and her being like, don't ask for a car because you're not getting one. And Frank being like, you never know, you might. And then that was the end of that, that's the end of that scene for, like, that port. And then it went back to Jamie. So I was like, yeah, it was very rushed. We didn't see a lot, but we just felt the tension in their marriage through these
all the way through
tiny scenes that we got to see.
All right, well, let's talk about her graduation day and how Candy, Sandy, Mandy, whatever her name is, rolled up to the house.
Harlot.
Oh yeah, the
God.
Harlot. Okay, first what you said, Frank, one day you could have gone to dinner. It's her graduation day. Like, one day you could have pretended, or at least just not invited Sandy, Candy, Harlot over. Like,
Right? Go to dinner and then go meet up with her afterwards.
Yeah, I know.
Anything to pretend. Like, your wife just graduated from med school. She was the first, if not, like, she was one of the first women admitted into Harvard's medical school program. Like, celebrate the moment with her. At least pretend to celebrate the moment in front of all of these other people. Because, yes, he says that she wasn't a great actress with his colleagues, but at least she showed up.
She was there.
She was there. She sat there and had your boss condescend her and everything in the first episode of this season, talking about how he needs to watch what she's reading.
Yeah.
And so she sat there and she sat through it, and she might not have been a great actress. No one was asking you to act great.
Yeah.
They're just asking you to show up.
Yep. Done.
And
Boom.
And she didn't cause
a
scene.
Drop that mic.
She didn't cause a scene either.
Yeah.
She just handled it very gracefully.
Right.
So that's why I don't understand what his beef was, unless there's something we're not seeing that they didn't show us. But when he brings up later that, you know, like, in around the graduation scene, I think it was, where basically, I think it was around there where he said that he, well, Claire said she thought he was doing it on purpose, and it's like, I mean, he was, and
he just kind of alluded to that. He said something like, well, you weren't, you're not a great actress either, so it kind of seemed like he was doing it to spite her, and it's like, dude, come on, like, that's gonna, I don't know. I didn't like that. And I thought the Harlot she looked very surprised when she showed up. So did she not know he was married? Like, she looked like, where am I? You know? And
she
like,
was just surprised that she was there because, at the party, because yeah. Frank was like, oh, I thought the reservation was at 6. And she's like, no, it's at 7. So clearly he told the harlot the wrong time to come pick him up, which he knew was going to happen. And she rang the doorbell 2 seconds after. So why wasn't he sprinting to the door to stop that from happening?
Yeah. I know.
That was poor taste. They're not the smartest.
Yeah. Frank. Poor Frank. Not good, Frank. Not a good way.
But I will say this, Frank. You looking real good in them turtlenecks. I don't know what you guys are seeing, but I'm seeing hot Frank with those glasses and the turtleneck, like, very all the way up his neck. That mustard yellow one he had on. Oh, my gosh. Swoon.
Meanwhile, I'm over here like, Frank is creepy.
Yeah, you guys are all, like, so opposite. I'm somewhere in the middle. I could feel that, you know? Like, all right, I can see
it. I don't know
it.
What it is about those glasses and a turtleneck. Like, oh, my.
Maybe every time he touches her, I'm like, no, leave her alone.
Maybe. You're still seeing Captain Jack Randall. Yeah, that's what true. You're seeing. Yeah. I'm seeing the caring, kind man who raised another man's baby as his own.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
And maybe you knew that it was his last episode, so you were like, I savor that while it's still here on my screen.
I don't think I saw that part coming until it came.
Yeah, I know. I didn't. Okay, we'll get there. All right, so after Hartlett, so then we have, it jumps another couple years because Brianna's graduating. And it seems it was either right after graduation, I don't know if that's that same night or a couple days later, that they have this big fight and talk about divorce, where Frank says that he's leaving, he's going to England, Brianna's coming with him, Claire, you're not welcome, stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you guys think when all of that was happening? Because it was kind of like their last words, right? It was like their last...
It was a big fight. It was the last words they spoke to each other, and it was harsh what he was doing. I understand why he did it, but it was heartbreaking for me when Claire put together, like, wow, you waited till she was 18 to divorce me. Yeah. Like, you had this plotted out from the start, almost, like, that you were just gonna hang in there till she turned 18 and then get out as soon as you could.
Yeah.
And it has to hurt that he's like, as soon as I'm free, I'm gonna marry Sandy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of brutal.
I didn't like it at all. I mean, at the end of season 2, when we didn't really know any of this, I sort of felt bad for Frank because, he waited for her and he married her and he raised Brianna as his own daughter. That makes him look so good. But then seeing all this, I was infuriated. I was like, how could you do this to her?
Yeah.
And she made a really valid point. She never cheated on him at all. Like, she, okay, fine. Like, she does love someone else, but she's been as honest as she can be about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did agree to stay married to her. And it was kind of an agreement. And yeah, fine. They agreed to live their separate lives. But he really ran with that. And he really, like, tried to stab her with everything. And it's not... The thing that bothered me the most is that, biologically, it's not even his daughter. And he's going to take her away from Claire.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of rough. And I felt like when they had their first fight, whenever that was, a couple of years before, when she said, they were talking about divorce, and he said that Millie and Billy or whoever, Jerry, they divorced, and she got the kid, and he never sees the kid. So that's what he was so, afraid of. And then Claire said, I would never keep Brianna from you. And then he said a line like, forgive me if I don't risk everything on your promises, because, you basically have shown, like, that you're not
capable of keeping one.
Yeah.
Which had many layers to it, because he's talking about their original marriage vows that she then went back in time and cheated, talking about when she came back and said, yes, I will go live a happy-ish life with you, and, like, couldn't live up to the lie. Like, there's just so many layers to that burn that he just gave her. And I understand where he's coming from, and I do feel bad for him, just because, he does love Brianna, and with the whole Sandy thing, I do believe that he deserves his happiness too, because all he wants is a wife that actually loves him.
Yeah.
And I was like, my heart breaks for you when he says that, I know. It's like, that's all he wanted was a wife that could love him back. Yeah. And he's like, I'm not going to stay here any longer. And life's too short.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the one who loves me. And I know that if Claire had the opportunity, she would jump at it to go be with Jamie. So I can't be mad at him for wanting this.
Right.
It's just the way he's talking to her and, like, bringing it to her was already in a argumentative place.
Yeah.
He started on the defensive instead of coming in like, hey, look, let's talk.
Yeah, totally. That would have been nice if he worded it in a way, not like, hey, I'm leaving, I'm taking Brianna. Like, if it would have been a more civil conversation. And I totally agree with you. I feel really bad for Frank. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's
I do too.
Such a tough position that he's in. And I agree that you put it in the way where you said, if Claire had the chance, she'd be like, see ya. Like, yeah. It's been real, you know? So I get it. But I kind of feel like I wish he would have at least divorced her when Bree was like 16 or something, you know? It's like, it's not like she's like six or something and he's can't really have, you know, she's 16. He could see her, you know, and you know, a couple years till she's 18. I wish he would have done that at least and said like, okay, I'm out, not waited till the end. Cause it felt like it was kind of even more of like a dig at Claire and like,
yeah.
So yeah, that was tough. And then their last words were basically, he said something about, Jamie and she said, no amount of time.
Oh, I love that. What was
that? That amount of time doesn't exist. That she will never get over Jamie. And my heart broke and I'm sure everybody else did. Yeah. It's like, I know. That was so sweet. And that was pretty much like the last thing she said to him, right? If this timeline is right, cause we didn't see from that moment to when she is at the hospital. So we're assuming
that's
the last day, right?
Yeah, because she gets that phone call calling her into the hospital. And I'm pretty sure that because she still looks all the same clothes and stuff.
Right.
She goes straight to the hospital. And when she's out of that surgery, that's when she finds out about Frank and the car accident, which as soon as he was like, I'm going to grab my keys and go, I was like, oh, you should never drive angry.
I know.
This is how you're going to die.
I know.
And then
that was tough. I know. I didn't think that he was going to die right then. I didn't think they were going to end it right away. I thought they were going to show a little bit more, kind of dragging on a little bit more. But yeah, once she's in and the doctor comes up and says, you know, it's Frank, he's been in a car accident. Just knowing what we know, I'm like, okay, this is the end. And I just thought it was so kind of sweet to, I guess you could say sweet, but how she like runs to him and she gives him a kiss and she said, you know, I loved you. Like, you were my first love.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a nice way for her to wrap up her time with Frank.
And it made complete sense to me because even though, like, I know, okay, fine. She's admitting she loves this person, but clearly it is like almost, it almost reminded me of like a high school love where, yeah, you might have loved that person, but you grow up and you change. And I feel like that's what happened to her, is that she grew up, changed, and she had this life-altering experience, found the man that she was meant to love her entire life. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, of course, compared with that, Frank just couldn't compete. But it doesn't mean that she didn't once love him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if we're being practical here, given the time frame of when they got together in that time period, it's very possible that Frank was also her first.
Yeah.
And you know, there is always that connection with like the your first sexual encounter and stuff. I was trying to think of a better word, but I couldn't come up with it quick enough. But you know, like, so there is also that goes into it, which is another reason why it's so hard to pull away from him, because he's her first love, her first, you know, everything could have been with Frank. I mean, I don't know this for sure. I'm just basing it on the time period.
No, it makes sense.
And also, when all you know is what you're surrounded with, she, you know, when we first meet her, and I think, it was 46, 47, right after World War II, she probably had limited experience, and even though she'd been through a war, she was surrounded by a certain type of guy.
Yeah.
So she didn't really, like, her focus was so narrow, probably, that she couldn't see outside of that until the events happened that sent her back in time, and
she met Jamie Frazier.
Yeah. Anthony, can we cue up my special surprise for these guys? Because, guys, Frank was a lot of things, but he still deserves a proper send-off.
Stop. So, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So there's a couple the good times and the bad.
I'm dying right now.
If you guys are listening on iTunes, please go over to YouTube and check this section out. I don't know what time frame we're in, but just we've got a little collage saying goodbye to Frank, and there's the hot turtleneck I was telling you guys about in those glasses.
You know, you need to tweet this to Tobias and be like, we did you right on AfterBuzz, Tobias. We did you right.
I mean, I don't read the books. I'm based on what they said in the after show or the after credits thing. info. There's always the possibility that we'll see more of him in flashbacks.
I know, probably.
He is dead. But we will always remember that one. Thank you for the good times.
The pensive friend.
Yes.
This is amazing. Oh my God.
You're welcome, guys. I wanted to surprise you guys with that.
That's hilarious.
You know what?
Thank you, Anthony, for having me.
Yes. Amazing. Wow. I didn't even know where to go from there.
Now we're going to go talk about Hot Jamie.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, you know, I think that perfectly wraps up Claire. We don't even need to say anything else. All right, Claire. Woo.
Frank, goodbye.
Like, we got rid of Jack Black, Randall, and Frank.
Yeah.
I know. 3 episodes, guys.
Yeah. It was kind of crazy when we were watching that after show part when they're talking about it, and it was like, it hit me.
Yeah.
Because when he died, it didn't hit me like, okay, this is the end of Tobias Menzies on the show. Like, I didn't, you know, until they said, oh, gave him a
series wrap.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, gosh, we're never going to see him. And then, you know, somebody was like, well, maybe in the flashbacks, but still not in this
capacity, in this, like, every episode way. Yeah. It's like, don't you have another relative you can play in, like, the 1800s or something?
Totally. We'll keep our fingers crossed for Tobias. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Okay. Jumping back in time to Jamie Fraser. So it opens in 1755, I believe, is when we see him. He's at a prison, and he is the main spokesman. I mean, was anybody surprised that he was going to be, you know, the kind of spokesman for the prison? But what did you guys think, just seeing kind of where he's at now after the last time we saw him?
Well, I was happy he was alive. Yeah, they didn't kill him.
Right?
And I was happy that, you know, the conditions weren't well, but, you know, he was alive, mm-hmm. and he was living, and that just, to me, was like, okay, he can get out of this.
Yeah.
Like, what's the escape plan? Yeah. Let's come up with, like, a way to get out of here, Jamie.
Yeah.
Or, totally. You know, like, he can serve his life sentence and then, or his short sentence, whatever, and then get out a free person where he actually wouldn't have to run anymore. Yeah. I was just excited for the possibilities.
Yeah.
At least he was talking again.
That too.
Yeah.
That was really scary for a moment when he's, like, just, like, staring at people. Yeah. But I don't know. I was hoping that he would pretty much just get out of it. And somehow be a free person and not have to worry and be on the run.
Yeah. I know. I know I said this earlier, but I thought Jamie was looking so good this episode. And I don't know if it's like the whole like chained up prisoner thing. I don't know. But he was looking so good. I mean, glad he's back. Glad with the short.
I also agree with you on that.
No more bearded Jamie.
Yes.
I think it's a reflection of like, seeing him bearded, and we got to see a little bit of him clean-shaven at the end of last week's episode, but this week getting the full him, and, like, he's all dirty, like, he used
rugged.
To be with Claire, and I'm like, he's dirty and rough, and, like, want to pull his hair.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all good. I know. Can we get the AC going?
See that he was, the actor was reading tweets from people?
Mm-mm.
No,
in like just a normal voice.
My tweet on there? No, just
and it was these people. Everyone was like, "Hey, Jamie, you looked good," but he was reading it, and he's like, "Oh, thank you."
That's awesome. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's a spokesperson or a spokesman of the prison, kind of like the head prisoner, I guess. And we see finally Murtaugh. Thank God, Murtaugh. Oh my gosh, it took me a while to say like, okay, is that really Murtaugh, or is it my mind just wanting it to be Murtaugh? Because it was kind of dark.
I heard the voice, I was like,
I know.
That's his voice. Yeah. Where is he?
I know, he's like around the corner, crouched down with a little piece of fabric, like almost dead pretty much, right? And rats are eating him and stuff. But Murtaugh is alive, so that made me so happy just to kind of see him and Jamie together.
Yes.
You know, finally again. So, and then it opens with John William Gray, who we knew was going to, bless you.
Thank you.
Who we knew was going to be, you know, in the story, is a big part of the story, right? So he comes in, and knowing that it's Red Jamie, it seems that Jamie has these special privileges as being the spokesperson. So what did you guys kind of think of, I guess, just John's character and kind of how he was interacting with Jamie this whole time?
I knew from the beginning that he might have had an interest in Jamie that went beyond friendship.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure how it was going to play out, but I kind of got that feeling. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I just was scared that he was going to hold former grudges against Jamie and, like, take away all the privileges, and that every time he brought Jamie in for something, whether it was, you know, the initial meeting or to help him with interpreting that guy, I was like, he's playing you, Jamie. Yeah. Like, be careful, until the very end when they, like, really had, like, their bond going and, like, their little heart-to-heart. I was like, oh, okay, like, he's a good guy. But then I also was like, okay, now he's interested in him in many other ways. And I was like, and he don't play that no more.
Yeah, I know. I know, once that happened, I know, we're kind of running out of time here, so I'm like, oh my God, there's so much. But yeah, once that happened, it was like, you know, of course, like, don't do this to Jamie after everything he's been through. Yeah,
not again.
You know? I know, I'm like, and Jamie was like, I will kill you.
Get your head off me.
I know. Yeah. And then just so much happened on his side, just like trying to escape that point when he's like running off in the field and they're covering him up with
moss
and stuff. And I'm like, how'd you not know that he was missing, first of all? Like, it's the spokesperson of the prison and he's gone all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. And someone tweeted back with the thing about the McDo.
Because we're trying to figure out what it meant.
And, I mean, they said it's the son of the black one, Black Brian Fraser, because of his black hair. So it must come from, like, Jamie's dad.
Okay, got it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and again, Jamie's, like, trying to just die, I guess, right? This is the second episode when he goes up to John William Gray and he's like, all right, kneel and, here's the debt. And it's like, I know it's the honor part of him, but also last episode when he's like, just shoot me, you know, like, I want to die. And then this episode he did it again. I'm like, Jamie, obviously, we know he's not going to die, but I'm like, stop doing that.
Stop trying to die,
I know. But any thoughts just kind of on his, you know, not from when he was released, but just his time in the prison? And
it was nice seeing, like, how much the prisoners respected him, because I think we've always seen that, especially when he was at Colum's house and stuff. You know, it was, like, clearly everyone, the Clan Fraser, like, loves him and would follow him. So it's, like, wherever he goes, he just has this supportive group. My favorite scene was after their fancy dinner when he was describing to them what they ate, and they're like, no, just slow down. I just want to savor. I want to savor the flavor.
I thought that scene could go so much differently. Like, I almost wondered if it was going to turn into the other prisoners being jealous of him.
Yeah.
And there'd be, like, some kind of mutiny.
Yeah.
But the fact that they were just like, oh, thank you for talking about this.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, these people are awesome.
Yeah. Because
any other, like, TV show or movie, it'd be like,
been a revolt.
We will kill you, Jamie.
I also thought he was maybe going to, like, mama bird some food to people. I was like, maybe he's, like, got a pouch in his mouth of, like, the food that he's, like, storing for other people to have. I don't know.
Oh, man.
I tried. I was like, Jamie, give him something.
I know. I'm like, that kind of sucks. They were like, oh, we're eating rats and you're eating, like, pheasant. But then his time at the prison ends when they close the prison down, and he is taken by John William Gray to go to another kind of a house to be a servant. And all the other people, including Murtaugh, are separated, going to the Americas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get Murtaugh for one episode, guys. What the hell?
Not cool.
Not okay with this.
Yeah, so I mean, I hope we don't lose Murtaugh again for a long time. Like, I need him in my life. Like, please don't do
Jamie
that to
needs
me.
Him in his life,
that's
too.
That's true.
Can I reference the books at all?
Yeah.
Because there's something that I read. Like, I haven't read the books, but I read the synopses for them. And there's something that I know ends up happening where it takes place in the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we will see him again. I don't know, because I haven't read them yet, but
cool. Well, it looks like we have less than a minute left until we got to wrap it up. Is that right? Is that countdown?
Yeah, counting down.
All right. Well, I guess that was our episode. Thanks, everybody, for watching us, watching with us, I guess. Any other last thoughts before we
I just want to say
off?
Thank you to at Lorelei Tatum for the McDo fact.
Awesome.
You were awesome for responding to me so quickly on Twitter.
Cool. Well, I guess we're not doing predictions then, because we got 30 seconds. So, quickly wrap up here. I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OMG It's Emily.
And you can find me at the Tiana Hobson on Twitter, Instagram, and anything else on social media.
And my name is Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman.
All right. Well, thanks so much for tuning in, guys. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my God.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.